Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you have a Bible question or if there's something, some issue you're living with, kind of struggling with, well, this is your opportunity to call in and speak directly with us right here at Basic Gospel. Call now at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and our lines are wide open, as always, for you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And now here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Have a great passage for us today out of the little letter of Jude, which is at the very end of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation. But Jude has some great encouragement to us and gives us an idea of what this world we live in is all about and how we can proceed in living as children of God, even in spite of that. So here's what he has to say, verse 17 of Jude. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. So he gives a really clear distinction between those who are lost and those who are saved. Those who are lost are devoid of the Spirit of God. Those who are saved have the Spirit of God living inside of them. That's the distinguishing mark, the Spirit of God. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So when we're saved, God sends His Spirit to take up residence in us, and we are sealed eternally. So there's no doubt that when the Lord comes, that we're going to go and be with Him. There's no doubt that if we die before that day, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Why? Because we have the mark of the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Those who were lost, those who are still in rebellion toward God and rebellion toward the truth, they are devoid of the Spirit. And since they're devoid of the Spirit, they're worldly people. And as worldly people, they are living after their own ungodly passions. They are living to gratify the desires of the flesh. And part of that lifestyle, part of that way of living, is division. They are constantly causing division. And we see that out there in the world. I mean, we have all kinds of divisions between different people groups. Some thinking they're superior to others, and they act that way. Well, where does that come from? Well, it doesn't come from the Spirit. It doesn't come from grace. It doesn't come from the ways of God. No, that's a worldly way. That is an ungodly way. That is an ungodly passion. But it's what we see out there in the world. So divisions exist out there in the world. And there's only one way to erase those divisions, and that is through the power of the gospel. So we see that in Ephesians 2 when God takes people from both Jew and Gentile and merges them together as one in Christ Jesus. We also see it in Galatians chapter 3, where he says, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, free or slave. We're all one in the body of Christ Jesus. So to those who are in Christ, he says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit and keep yourselves in the love of God. So build yourself up in the faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to grow in the grace of God. It means to grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's what it means to build yourself up in this most holy faith. He says to pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, some would say that means speaking in tongues. Well, that's not what that means at all. It's saying allow your prayers to be motivated and driven by the leading of God's Spirit. So we can pray according to the flesh. We can pray for fleshly things, for worldly things. We can throw those up to God all day long. But those aren't the prayers that are effective. Those aren't the prayers that have impact. The prayers that have impact are those that are motivated by the love of God and are led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to drive us into the truth of who God is, the truth of who Jesus Christ is. He's going to bring that truth to our minds. He's going to give us understanding about who we are in Christ and the love that he has poured out in our hearts. And so when we pray according to the Holy Spirit, we're praying according to grace and truth. So it's very simple. And then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, yesterday we talked about the fact that God's love is steadfast, that God's love will never fall away. God's love will never fail. And as a result, it becomes our confidence in life. Well, as children of God, we're going to live in the midst of people who are scoffers, people who follow their own ungodly passions, people who cause divisions, people who are worldly. Yeah. That's the world in which we live in. Those are the people that we rub shoulders with day in and day out in our neighborhoods, as we go to the grocery stores, as we go to work. We're going to encounter people who are devoid of the Spirit. Well, what's going to keep us moving forward? What's going to keep us from giving in to their ways, trying to be like, trying to fit in with how they do life? Well, it's going to be the steadfast love of God. The steadfast love of God is going to lift us above and enable us to move forward in this new way of life that we have in Christ Jesus. And then it's going to enable us to have mercy on those who doubt, to save others by snatching them out of the fire, to show others mercy. So when we are keeping ourselves in the love of God, when we are standing strong in the love of God, that becomes our confidence in life, and it frees us to actually look at the needs, the spiritual needs of others, so that we can have mercy on those who doubt, we can offer eternal life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins, and to show mercy to others. Now, we can do this with this confidence as well. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. So this is such practical advice, mm-hmm. encouragement to us. And it's Jude saying that you live in this world, and there's an opportunity for your eyes to be moved to all kinds of different things that are going on around you, to people who are following after the desires of the flesh, to people who are causing divisions. And it's easy to feel pressure to conform to those ways. But here Jude is saying the way to not be conformed is to keep your eyes on Jesus, yeah. to allow his grace to be the encouragement and the builder of your faith, to allow his grace, to allow the leading of the Spirit to give you God's perspective in all things and enable your prayers to be aligned to the will of God, and the love of God giving you that confidence to continue to live out who you are as a child of God. Yeah. So this is great encouragement. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the one to whom be glory, majesty, dominion, and all authority.
All authority, and that's a wonderful start to this particular Basic Gospel program, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, of course, we have a good combination going concerning the end of our fiscal year and the matching gift challenge. Talk to us a little bit about those two issues. First, of course, the fiscal year. What's the importance of the fiscal year end, and then connect that to the matching gift?
Well, we close our books, and every business wants to close their books in the positive. And we want to do the same. And we purchase airtime. We purchase other services to help deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to people all over the world. There's a powerful platform that is in place to help connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. And we had this great call that came in just recently, and the woman lived, I think, up in Washington State, and she said, because of you, I'm in love with Jesus.
Yes, right.
And that's the story that's happening all over the world. And when she says you, she's talking about Basic Gospel Nation. She's talking about this entire group of people that God has raised up to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. That means you who are contributing to Basic Gospel, whether it's one time a year, whether it's two or three times a year, or whether it's every month. You're a part of what God is doing. You are moving the mission of this ministry forward and helping to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. So we have a powerful platform to do that, and that takes money, that takes resources. So we need your help to close the books in a very strong way so that we can continue to do what we're doing. And then the second thing is we've had a group of friends to step up and say, hey, let's sweeten the pot a little bit. For somebody who wants to give 100, let's match that so that doubles the effect of their gift. So it's like giving 200. Or if you give 500, it's like giving 1,000. So it doubles your gift. It doubles the impact of your gift. It increases your reach through Basic Gospel. So let's rise up and meet this challenge. But even more so, let's rise up and meet our fiscal year end with strength, with power, with the financial resources necessary to keep this ministry moving and reaching people all around the world, connecting them to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for those thoughts, Bob. And friends, we ask you to help right now if you can. Please click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of our resource called Love Is. It's an in-depth look at the height, the width, and the depth of God's love for us. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting the message of grace in Jesus Christ that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. So once again, donate at basicgospel.net. And once again, also, the phone number, 844-322-2742. It's open and available right now. We'd love for you to be a part of this edition. Again, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, Bob, this question came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hello, my name's Don from Montana. And my question is, I have done things throughout my life that I deeply regret, and the devil keeps bringing those things back up to me, and I have asked God for forgiveness, and I believe that I have been forgiven. And I guess what my question is, every time this comes up in my mind, am I just reminding God of the things that I have done and that I have asked forgiven for? Thank you, and may God bless you.
Well, Don, that's a great question, and I know that so many of us have regrets. We live in the past. We feel guilt over the past. We feel fear based on what we've done in the past, you know, just thinking God is going to punish us at some point in the future for what we've done in the past. We also can feel shame. Now, none of those feelings are things that we want. We want to get rid of that. We want to get rid of those feelings of guilt. We want to get rid of that fear. We want to get rid of that shame. We want to be free of that once and for all. And there's only one way to get free, Don, and that is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here's what Jesus would say to you if you could sit down face to face with him and say, hey, Jesus, I'm having all of these regrets about yesterday, and I'm scared to death of what that may mean as far as my relationship to you is concerned, and as far as what punishment that my future might hold. And Don, Jesus would look at you and say, I Jesus took your sins, Don, in my body, and I died in your place. And I didn't die for just a few of your sins. I died for every one of your sins. Everything that you've done in the past, I saw 2,000 years ago, and I took it away from you, and I bore it in my body. Everything that you have yet to do in life that is going to be called sin, I saw that as well 2,000 years ago, and I've already taken that and bore it in my body, and I died in your place. I took the punishment that you justly deserved, and in exchange for that, I gave you my righteousness. So as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, Don, so that you could be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, that's the good news. Right now, Don, because you're in Christ, and I'm assuming that you are in Christ, that you have come to know him personally, that you have responded to the gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, because you are in Christ, you are righteous, and your sins have been taken away once and for all, and they are never to be remembered again. So God remembers your sins no more. So if that's true, then, Don, there's no need for you to dredge up those actions or sins from the past. God isn't dredging those up, and I think you were very insightful when you said, Satan keeps bringing up my past. Well, if it's Satan, and if you know it's Satan, then why would you want to listen to him? He has nothing good to say.
Yeah.
He's always going to accuse you, but here's the good news. If God is for you, who can be against you? And what God has declared, Don, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he is for you, mm-hmm. and that in Christ there is no condemnation. So as you go forward from this day, I want you to go forward with a sense of gratitude in your heart. And I want you to say, in light of your past, I want you to say to the Lord, thank you that you've already dealt with my past. You have removed it from me. It's as far away from me as the east is from the west. And I want to thank you for the forgiveness that I have in you. I want to thank you that in you there's no condemnation for me. And I want to thank you that on that day of the Lord, I can stand before you with confidence, knowing that I'm going to be with you forever and enjoy the fullness of the salvation that you've brought to me by grace through faith in Jesus. So that's where it starts, at the cross of Christ. And you recognize that it's finished, that God's never going to bring up your sins, that it's over, it's been dealt with, and now allow him to teach you how to enjoy the full measure of his life in you. And that's where the real joy and contentment is going to come from.
Well, Don, thanks for reaching out. We hope this is a help to you. Keep listening. Call us again or drop us a line if we can be a further help. Bob, a question that I know you're going to love just as much as I do. This is from Dorian, who dropped us an email. He says, I have never read the Bible, and I've never been to church. I've considered myself to be an atheist most of my life. Recently, I've become interested in learning about Christianity, but know almost nothing about it. Would reading your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, or the Bible be a good starting point?
Well, the Bible is always the best starting point. That is for sure. And I would encourage you to start with the Gospel of John and to really see Jesus as he has manifested himself in this world, to really ask the question, Jesus, who are you? And I think as you read through the Gospel of John, that's going to be revealed to you. You're going to see Jesus as who he really is, and he is the one that will meet every need of your heart. So if you're thirsting and longing for something to fill that emptiness inside of you, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who He who eats of me will never hunger or thirst again. If you're looking for wisdom, a way forward, a new way of living, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're looking for new life, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So you're going to find in Jesus everything that you need as you read through the Gospel of John. And so that's where I would encourage you to start. And also, we would love to send you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's my story of how I came to know Jesus Christ and a lot of the struggles that I went through. And it's a look at the grace of God. So you can look at the book of John and read Simple Gospel, Simply Grace in conjunction, but do so with this attitude that says, Lord, I'm interested. I want to know you. Please reveal yourself to me. And I guarantee you, he will reveal himself to you in such a powerful, overwhelming way that you will just say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And Dorian, we will welcome you as a new brother in Christ when that happens, and we will pray to that end. Again, it's Basic Gospel. We're nearing the end of the broadcast, but Bob, we had this question from an anonymous writer. He says, my question is about how the gospel is being preached. I'm curious about why nobody is following the pattern of Jesus Christ about being baptized and repenting of sins. People make it seem as if you can just raise your hand and say, I accept Jesus. Everything seems to be man's version and not God's version of what is said in the scripture. That's from an anonymous writer.
Well, God's version is simply this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of works. It is a gift, lest anyone should boast. So the only thing that we can do is receive the free gift. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. If we could, here's what we would get. We would get wages for our efforts. And our efforts would be labeled sin, and the wages of sin is death. So if you want to work for something, you don't have what it takes to produce righteousness. You don't have what it takes to produce godliness. You don't have what it takes to become what God wants you to be. So if you're going to work for it, then the wage you will receive is death, eternal death. But if you want life, then there's only one way to receive it, and that is by grace through faith. So it is a gift. If you want to be made right in God's sight, there's only one way to do that, and that's to receive the gift of righteousness. You are freely justified by grace. So the idea of repentance is coming to that place in our lives where we recognize that our life as it currently is no good, and that we want something more. And then when the gospel comes and we hear the good news about Jesus and we respond, we're turning away from that old way of life so that we can receive new life in Jesus. So let's not complicate it. Let's not try to add things to the mix. Let's just let the story stand. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's power within the gospel, power to save, power to transform, power to lift us up so that we can walk in the newness of life.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us today. If you have unanswered questions concerning the Christian life or a Bible passage you can't quite understand, maybe an issue you're finding hard to deal with, well, give us a call at 844-322-2742, and you'll hear your question discussed on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. And thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel every month. And right now, we want to emphasize the importance of your support as we approach the end of our fiscal year, the 30th of this month, just 8 days away now. It's important that we all pull together to close this fiscal year out without any of those carryover bills that we all hate so much. But we do have bills for airtime and other operational expenses that we need to address. And the only way we do that is God working through his people, which, of course, would be you. So visit basicgospel.net and make that donation today if you can. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow. Same time, see you then. Bye-bye.